Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Carbach Brewery, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. 2 hours in the books and 1 hour to go. It's flying by. The trade deadline now over in terms of time on the clock. But as Pat mentioned and we've talked about, deals that were being discussed while the deadline came and actually went can be finished. And so, therefore, there could be some late moves to be announced. And there better be at least one from your Houston Astros, because without a center fielder having traded Miles Straw in the last hour, you better get someone to replace him. Jake Marisnyk is the name that is popping up all over Twitter right now. That's right. I said Jake Marisnyk has just been traded to the San Diego Padres. So Jake from Rake Farm ain't coming back. Oh, sorry, San Francisco Giants. So now we got Jake Marisnyk going to the Giants. We got Chris Bryant going to the Giants. But who's going to your Houston Astros?
He's going to the Padres.
Tyler, you screwed me up. I had it right the first time. Jake's going to the Padres.
Right.
Chris Bryant going to the Giants. Late moves coming in all over the place. No Byron Buxton trade. He's staying with the Twins, so he can't be that guy. I wish I had some guy with sources that could possibly tell me who the hell the Astros are getting to play center field. Dustin is sources. He is here. Everybody's here. Grayland is here. Total Grayland is here. I mean, come on. Why aren't you here? Everybody's here. Big C Clarence in the house. Crystal Collins in the house. Everybody having a good time for AJ's last day. You should be here, too. Let me just say something right now. Hiding under a rock. Patrick, let me show you something. Every time Patrick Creighton, by the way, here, first and front and center, because he's filling in for my boy Nick today. When I was saying who is here, I don't know if you noticed it or not so subtly, the guy wearing the flannel shirt makes sure that he goes from the way background to right in my eye shot, so that I can say, and oh, by the way, Trey is here. As if anyone had any guess or any second guess who that dude is right there.
Got to give him some love, though. You got to give Trey some love. Everything that Trey has ever asked to do, he does it. He doesn't complain. He just does
right.
It.
Yeah, I'm here. Trey's here. He's signing all kinds of stuff. He's bundled up because it's 32 degrees somewhere. So Trey's here.
Everybody in the building for AJ, last day, standing right in front of me, loud as hell, as we continue to wait now, Patrick. Jake Marisnyk, not the guy. Byron Buxton, not the guy. Where is the center fielder for your Houston Astros coming from going forward if Miles Straw is now a member of the Cleveland Indians? I gave you a possibility in the break. I told you I know a team with a surplus of center fielders. I don't think either – well, one of the guys I would be intrigued by. But I don't think either guy is the kind of guy that they will get, nor is the guy to fill the void. But I will tell you this, my hometown team, the Milwaukee Brewers, not only do they have Lorenzo Cain, who I would love in an Astros uniform on the short term.
That guy is leadership personified.
And he's defensively he's great, offensively he's a stick. But on top of all of that, they did also sign Jackie Bradley Jr. in the offseason for a fairly reasonable contract.
A guy who was heavily connected to the Astros in the offseason.
Right. So I throw that out there, not knowing what they may or may not do. But again, like we said before the break, they have to have one more up their sleeve, right?
You would think, because your other options, like if you stay in-house, your options are Chaz McCormick's your new center fielder, Kyle Tucker's your new center fielder, or Pedro Leon is coming up from AAA, and they're going to scrap the whole shortstop plan, and he's going to be your center fielder. None of those for right now are the most optimal situation.
Do you think Leon's ready yet?
No. I don't think he's ready.
I don't
ready
either.
Yet.
Just strictly from a hitting perspective, I don't think he's ready.
And changing, when you have a guy who's coming from Cuba, so he's learning the language. He's learning his teammates. He's learning a new style of baseball. The Astros have their own style of baseball in the minor leagues. And then you're asking him to change positions, to play a position he's never played in his life. It stands to reason the offense is going to dip a little bit because he's focused on so many other things. I think eventually he's going to be a good hitter. But right now, he's not ready.
Now, he's got some teammates that can help him with a lot of the stuff you mentioned. But what they can't help him with is when he gets in the batter's box and the fact that he's been working in a different position and suddenly you're going to say, hey, by the way, totally mind-blowing experience coming up to the big leagues, and you're going to go back to your old position. You're going to have to deal with everything off the field and around the field. And then, because we're in the middle of a pennant race, you're also going to have to perform at a high level. I think that's far too much to put on any young kid, no matter how good you are.
And add in the fact that he's coming from another country and lost a year last year because there was no minor league baseball last year. So you're asking way too much of anybody, not to mention somebody who's jumped over all those hurdles, to now suddenly jump into a pennant race. Look, you might hit eighth, but by the way, you better hit, because as we saw, we had a guy hitting eighth who hit 260. People wanted to run him out of town. So,
And let's be honest, too. You already have a National League lineup, because as good as Machete is behind the plate, you're sacrificing his great defense by putting him in the lineup every day, because offensively, it's you win the lottery every time he gets a hit or gets a home run, because he's just not a hitter. So you already have a little bit of a hole. It used to be 7, 8, 9 were a big problem. Now, depending on who plays center field, if only 9 is anything you worry about offensively, you're golden, because like we said, no matter what they've been doing, 1 through 6 has been good enough to get them top numbers in all of baseball offensively.
You mentioned Byron Buxton not moving.
Yeah.
Trevor Story not moving.
Wow. So that Colorado is just going to eat that?
They're going to make him a QO. And they're going to take their comp pick.
Take the pick.
And that's a fail for Colorado. That is a fail and a half.
Because if there is a better example of a small market team that really doesn't want to make any moves to get better, we talked about in Oakland that's surprising as hell that they're suddenly doing what they never do, which is go for it and try and make big all-for-the-present moves. There's a team. Look, they had so much buyer remorse on Nolan Arenado, they couldn't get rid of him fast enough, because when they started calculating how many years and how many dollars they were going to spend on a team that wasn't going to be as competitive as, I guess, some one wild hair day they thought they could be. But you know what? I don't think that Colorado does a lot of things right. You mentioned DePoto. He ain't there anymore. I don't know who you're blaming and what they're doing.
No,
but
their GM, actually, they fired. In the offseason, they stood by him,
yep.
And he had this big rift with Arenado, and that led to the trade. And then after the trade, all right, we're going to stand by you. And then a month into the season, they fired him.
Yeah.
So they just don't know what they're doing out there.
No, they don't, and it's an issue, and it's not our problem. But at the same time, you'd have thought that if you're trying to be a viable franchise staying afloat, you do something that makes sure that you not only get a pick back for your guy, but you also do something that keeps you somewhat in the mix for improving your team going forward.
So we got a couple of deals, and then we got a little bit of Astros news. First of all, Freddie Galvis going back to the Phillies from Baltimore. John Lester is heading to St. Louis.
Oh, Cardinals making a couple of under-the-radar moves.
And the Astros are promoting from within. Jake Myers is coming up from AAA Sugarland, and he is probably your new center fielder if they don't make a move. He's a good defender. He's got power. He is absolutely destroying the ball at AAA. He's got 16 homers, 50 RBI, and 10 steals, hitting .343 in 271 at-bats. He has been one of the best bats at Sugar Land this year. former 13th round pick back in 2017.
Time out. They're bringing him up because for the short term, until they figure out how they get all their, the players that they acquire and who they're chasing in, they still need another outfielder because they traded away Miles Straw.
They would need another outfielder.
Right. Short term, he's here, and he can play center field. And everything you say is true, but I still got to believe that there's something that's being discussed by James Click that is a more viable solution for this team between now and the end of the season.
I hope so. So far, and again, there are probably another 20 minutes where trades will still leak out for the next 20 minutes. But as of right now, as far as center field is concerned, Jake Myers has been raking like a madman at AAA. They're calling him up. And honestly, I would expect he would start over Chaz McCormick.
I tend to agree with you, but here's the other thing, too. When you take all that into consideration, and having watched what happens with the NBA, too, sometimes you say 20 minutes, but sometimes it takes 20 minutes to get the deal done, and by the time they get all the paperwork together, the press release is out, the PR department's involved, and they send everything to the appropriate departments within Major League Baseball, we might not find out about this till game time tonight, or we might not find out about this till 7 o'clock tonight. So sometimes, as in my experience with the NBA, is the deal got done in the final half hour after the deadline, but by the time it was announced, it was hours later. I just got to hope, not just believe, but I got to hope that there is this one move still that's going to be coming for your Astros.
So remember I said Trevor Story staying in Colorado, massive fail. John Gray also staying in Colorado.
Massive fail.
It's almost like they were just afraid to do something.
How can you do that when you know on the flip side, the even worse if they just watch them walk? And like you said, they'll make them qualifying offers. They'll get a pick out of the deal. But the fact that you had true talent and just let them walk out the door, that's embarrassing.
So we'll wait. We'll see if there's going to be another move coming through.
I mean, overall, you know, and a lot of times everybody grades each deadline when it comes and goes, and everybody goes, oh, this was boring. Oh, a lot of talk, no action. This has been a phenomenal trade deadline in Major League Baseball.
How often are there more deals in baseball at the deadline than in the NBA at the draft? Because, like, we're like at that point. So many deals have gone down. This has literally been the most exciting deadline that I can remember. And chances are there's still a few more things that are going to come out. I don't think everything is done just quite yet. I think over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to find some more deals. And you're right. I would think for a team we're not just talking about a team that wants to win its division. We're talking about a team that looks at itself as a World Series contender.
But as Nick and I said, Pat, and I'm very interested in your opinion on this, but we both said this is the one year where just getting there isn't good enough, but this is the year that if you do get over the hump and you win another one and there is no buzzer and there is no garbage cans and there is no cheating scandal, this is the one that shuts everybody up once and for all. It's so important that they don't just be happy to be there. It's so important they do everything to go get it and bring it home. And with everything the Dodgers did that really kind of made me nervous after I thought that maybe they were coming back to the pack, I like what's just happened with James Click. I like the fact that you and I thought, well, based on it being the Astros, they're done. And then they weren't. And now they're not. And now we're waiting on one more. I like it, but I also love the fact that they realize, as well as we do, it's not just get there and have a run. It's win it all to really shut people up.
Well, we got some more stuff that's coming out, and I'd say we'll get to it next.
Look at you teasing away. Lots more to get to as we roll through the final hour of the show. It's hour number 3 of the Press Box on a Friday. It's the last show of A.J. Hoffman. Arthur J. is leaving us, so if you want to say your farewells, Carbach Brewing. Sorry it's a little loud. My voice is petering out yelling this loud, but I can't stop talking because we got lots of deadline news we're waiting on and still telling you about. Stay tuned for much more. It is the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Carbach Brewery, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we appreciate you being a part of the Press Box on a Friday here at Carbach Brewing Company, where it's a phenomenal venue. It's great beer, but all that. It's also a great venue to have a going away party for the man, the myth, the legend that is Arthur J. Hoffman. AJ's last day. We are on the second floor here at Carbach. Everybody's stopping by. The room is filling up, and everybody's having a good old time. The Blitz should be great today because they'll be liquored up, and they'll be talking out of their rear ends, and they'll be talking about all kinds of things like aliens and sex and, I don't know, Astros, and Tyler's going to feed them wrong information just to try and make good for what he's done to me today.
Whoa. Maybe I'm a plant. Maybe I did that on purpose.
I didn't realize you were buddies with Adam Clanton.
I don't think I've ever actually met him.
So, well, that's actually probably to your... Okay, so Pat, you were teasing. People were calling you quite the teaser before the break. So do tell, sir. What do you have to tell the people?
All right, so Hansel Robles is heading to the Red Sox. So they'll...
Is Gretel going to?
No, but they'll fortify their bullpen a bit. And so far, it does look like Jake Meyer's call-up to the big league team. So far, it looks like that's going to be the corresponding move for the Astros. And like I said, I think if he's the guy that they're calling up, I think he's a starter.
He's got good numbers, Pat.
And he can go fetch it.
Yeah, and he's a good defensive outfielder. But it's all been on a level other than not just the major leagues now, but on a team fighting for a World Series championship, fighting for a division title, one of the best teams in the game. It's not like you're just going to pay your dues and take your licks and get some experience playing for the Indians or, worse yet, you know, a team that's like the Tigers or the Orioles or the Rangers or anybody else that swept the Astros this year. No, you're talking about a team that has the second best odds to win it all that just traded away their starting center fielder. Not too much pressure there.
Well, I would also put it from this. You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the show about how willing were the Astros really to bust over the tax line and bring in, you know, big salaried, big name players. And I thought if Scherzer wasn't going to be on the list, then there wasn't going to be a list. The fact they went out and got Maton to fortify the bullpen and they call up Myers, I would bet they are like basically $50 from the line. I guarantee you they're not over the line.
Oh, I guarantee you're right.
And I think that ultimately was the decision maker in how far are we going to go.
But here's the thing, Pat. Unlike you, it ain't over. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no. I'm here to tell you.
That line never gets old.
No, I believe that it hasn't been announced yet, but I got to believe with all the savvy moves that Click has made, with all the moves that we didn't even see coming because he hardly speaks, and when he does, it's very vague, but move after move after move has been a positive that everybody has gotten on board with, that immediately, as we said, recreated and transformed that bullpen from crap into absolutely shine. Now I got to believe if you're going to go out and make a move like this, because this is on your shoulders, and you trade away your starting center fielder for a team this good, there has to be a corresponding move. It's not going to the minor leagues and calling someone up. I'm saying there is another corresponding trade.
Or there should be. But if there isn't, are they looking at it and saying, well, you know what, Chaz McCormick or Jake Meyers is going to hit eighth, and we've been living with either no power or no average, no on base in the eighth spot. We're still the best offense. Let's just have a guy in center field who could go get it. We'll live with whatever the offense is because 1 through 7, we're so good. Is that ultimately they decided, hey, we'll bring up this guy. He could go fetch it in center field.
Okay, but
we're not
going
to pay tax.
But let me ask you this. If everything you're saying is the way they were thinking, then why do the move at all? Then why give up Straw? Then at least you got a guy with major league experience that has playoff experience, that is a guy that's been with you all year long. Are you saying that Maton is the guy that you had to have to put you over the top in the bullpen after the moves you've already made, and that you had to still make this move? Otherwise, I'm fine with that, but I'm already seeing that's what their lineup was when you had Straw at 8 and Maldonado at 9.
I will tell you that in the Jim Crane era, the Astros have shown they do not value speed guys. They don't value them. They don't give them chances. How many times did Tony Kemp hit the hell out of the ball in the minor leagues? He'd get called up. He'd hit. He'd sit for a week and a half. Come up, hit, sit for a week and a half. They don't value that type of guy. And I don't think they ever truly valued Straw. I don't think they really ever saw him as more than a 4-5 outfielder. And
Jake.
Well, if Jake could A, consistently hit, and B, not get hurt every time he started to hit, Jake probably had some promise. Because he never could stay healthy when he started to hit, and then he would hit 219. Ultimately,
but that's the thing. Consistently, he was still always the speed guy because he never could hit or hit for power.
And he was gold glove level defense.
No question.
They don't value that guy. I would say they value McCormick over Straw because McCormick's got 10 homers. Even though he's hitting 205, he's got 10 homers, and Straw's got 2. And that always, when you get into the analytics side of things, analytics overvalues homers and devalues steals. So you're talking about, hey, let's go find, we're fine dealing a guy that we don't think is really in our long-term plans anyway, and Straw's not in their long-term plans and never was. At best, he was the placeholder.
I was telling you this in the break. I watched him over and over, night in, night out, and I didn't want to make too big of a deal of it on the air because I don't want to say I'm nitpicking, but from a hitting perspective, his back foot was doing more dance moves than Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. I mean, he was moving around. He was stepping out. It was, and now he was still making contact, but to me, I was like, he's never going to be a consistently good offensive player at the plate with that kind of back foot.
Some guys are just jittery hitters. You know, some guys, they have a lot of movement. You know, Lenny Dykstra had a lot of movement.
But he was living off the front foot because of it.
I mean, Straw, if you look at his minor league numbers, he's hit at every level. He's never hit for power.
Right.
But he's hit for average. He's walked. He's gotten on base. He's stolen bases. He's been a pretty good defender. He's been a pretty good defender this year after a couple of miscues early in the year. He really shored up his defense. But they just don't value speed guys. They don't value people who don't have power. And he was never going to be in the long-term plan. I think they looked at him as the placeholder to Leon until Leon was ready to go.
Agree, yeah.
That's why they didn't sign Jackie Bradley Jr. because they got Pedro Leon. Well, now here's Jake Meyers, who I think will probably get a chance to have playing time. And he's going to get to show, hey, can you play at this level? Because if you can't...
Well, you got to find out now.
If you can't... Well, maybe the shortstop experiment with Leon is over, and he goes back to center.
But Leon's hurt. You're not having him this year.
No.
You're not going to be he's not going to be the answer this year. You need an answer this year. You need an answer sooner rather than later, because as I just got done saying again, and we keep harping on, it is all about this year.
It should be.
So then there should be another move.
If they don't want to go over the tax, there's not going to be another move.
He said they're willing to go over, and if they go over, they'll go way over. There's got to be another move.
But were they blowing smoke at us?
They're not the Rockets, like they're the Astros.
Like I said, I think if it wasn't going to be Max Scherzer, it wasn't going to be. Now, Maton makes $975,000 and Straw makes $590,000. So,
you got $400,000 to play with.
You are just a... Tick.
You got $400,000 to play with.
Just a tick under the line. And, again, when you think about what they did, is Miles Straw the best guy they gave up? Is Abraham Toro the best guy they
Joe
gave
Smith.
Up? Brian De La Cruz was a 26-year-old career minor leaguer.
24, right?
I thought he might have even been older than that.
I think he's 24.
But De La Cruz doesn't look like he's ever going to be anything more than a fifth outfielder either. So... You got closers on two teams and a guy whose name is Spin Rate with a 13.5 strikeout per nine, and you gave up a lot of non-prospects.
I told you, so far I'm ecstatic with every single thing that James Click has done. And yeah. I have not, and everybody knows, I am not a Miles Straw fan.
In addition to getting Maton for Straw,
yeah.
They also got minor league catcher Yiner Diaz. Now, Diaz is 22, but he's hitting the hell out of the ball at Lynchburg, which is A-ball.
A catcher that's offensive?
A catcher who's hitting .314 at Lynchburg with an .821 OPS.
Well, then that means the future's bright, Pat. I'm still talking about the present. The clear and present danger right now is that there isn't a center fielder coming.
It looks like Jake Myers is the center fielder coming. That's what it looks like right now.
All right, if I ask you this right now.
3:30.
We're assuming that there's no help on the way, and I ask you right now, first game of the playoffs, who's starting at center field for your Houston Astros? Myers, Chaz McCormick.
I would say Myers.
Or other.
I'd say Myers. He's the better defender.
You're not putting Kyle Tucker in center field.
I would advise against that.
I would as well. I got to believe it's Chaz McCormick. You're gonna see everything you possibly can out of this kid when you bring him up. You're going to give him every opportunity to pass or fail. But when all the cards are on the table, and there are no tomorrows, and it's all about what you do in the playoffs, I got to believe that you got to go with the commodity that you trust and know the most about. And that's why I got to believe Chaz McCormick's your guy. And I'm not sure I'm okay with that. He's got speed. You've said he's been an above-average defender, but
he's primarily played corner. He hasn't played center. Here you're talking about, you know, Jake Myers, the guy who plays center field. And like I said, he goes and gets it. You need to have that with Michael Brantley playing left field. Your center fielder's got to go fetch.
You've seen him play? You've seen Myers play in person?
Oh, yeah.
Is his contact better than Miles Straw?
Yeah, and not only more contact, but much better exit velocity
as
well. Bat
speed, yeah.
And legit power.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I'm feeling better, but I'm still holding out hope. I need one more move to come back that they've made. I need late word breaking out of Major League Baseball that there was one more move to be made. There has to be, Pat. There has to be. All right, we've got a half hour to go on the show as we wrap up the week of the press box, but it's not over yet because the final episode of the Blitz comes up after us. From 4 to 7, it is going to be AJ's last show. It's Fred, AJ, Aaron, Tyler here keeping us on the air, and everybody as we say farewell to Arthur J. Hoffman as he heads off into the sunset and heads to the desert of Vegas. Back with the final 30 minutes right here on the press box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Carbach Brewery. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the program. Nick's out. Pat Creighton's here. We're talking about the trade deadline in baseball after a great night in the draft for the Rockets last night. Yeah, I said great night, and I'm giving them all the credit in the world. So here's the scenario for you. Nick had to miss today. We get Pat. I want to get Pat. Pat's my buddy. We like working together. I want to go get Pat. So I said, Pat, come on in. So you're supposed to be nice to me. You're supposed to give me good news. You're supposed to be the happy-go-lucky guy that's just having fun with his buddy. Instead, I call you, Joe Boo. I go to you, Joe Boo. I say, do the show with me, Joe Boo. And instead of giving me a center fielder to answer my last wish before the deadline passes, you say, F you, Joe Boo.
I do it myself. James Click apparently has spoken regarding the deadline. And Click told the media, as reported by Brian McTaggart and Mark Berman, Chaz McCormick has earned more playing time in center. And they're calling up Jake Myers, who will get time as well. Said it was a difficult decision to trade Miles Straw, but he had to be traded in order to get Phil Maton. There is no extra center fielder coming in another deal.
You know, it's radio, Pat. I got to talk. I'm not real pleased with you right now. I'm not real pleased with James Click. As pleased as I've been, and maybe I'm asking too much, but I was hopeful that there was just this one last cherry on top that finishes the fantastic, phenomenal trade deadline week that he just put together. I'm okay with it. I'll live with it, and I'm going to believe what you said about when Myers plays. But at the same time, we've talked about this in the past. Speed almost even between Straw and McCormick. Defensively, as much as Straw got built up as the better center fielder, he's had some screw-ups this year. And I'm not really disappointed to have Chaz McCormick in the outfield either. I worry about his strikeouts. I worry about his average. But I do know that when in clutch moments with runners on base, he stepped up as well. And I would trust him more at the plate than Miles Straw. I'll be okay. I was just hopeful there was one more move to be made.
Well, McCormick's been on a little bit of a hot streak too, because he's got his average up to 240. And the 10 home runs are a massive surprise, because if you look at his minor league numbers, McCormick never showed this kind of power at any level ever. So the power is definitely a surprise, but they value the home run. They don't value the stolen base. They were fine with trading Miles Straw, and they're fine giving McCormick more reps in center, even though he's primarily been a corner outfielder, because, well, he's got 10 home runs. Now, he's hitting 240. He's got a 305 on base. Those are both
less than stellar.
Yeah, those are suboptimal. But he does have terrific speed, and he's shown the power so far. So he's going to get some reps, and he's going to get a chance to show, look, you can handle it, you can't handle it. And if he can handle it, well, great. You know what? He's 26, and this is his first real go in the majors. So if he can show he can handle it, he'll get to stick around. Maybe he plays for another couple of years here in Houston before they do whatever they do with him. But here's his chance. Like 10 home runs. In the minor leagues, he has 20 career homers in 968 at-bats. He's got 10 homers and 154 at-bats at the major league level. Whatever it is, did he change his swing? Did he pull a J.D. Martinez and go learn a new swing? I don't know, but he's hitting, and he's going to get a shot. But clearly the Astros decided, we've been throwing dice with Straw and McCormick as our center fielders. Now we'll do the same thing with McCormick and Myers. We've been the best offense. We'll stay the best offense.
Everybody knows I wasn't enamored with Miles Straw. And again, I had lots of reasons at the start of the season. And he got hot for a little while. But then he kind of settled in. But even settling in, you could tolerate it. You could take it. Because when he got on, he was a threat to steal. Defensively, he still got to a lot of baseballs. But at the end of the day, I'm not heartbroken by losing him. And people are asking, do you think the prospect was the catcher that they got? That was why they made the deal. No, the only reason why they made the deal was because they absolutely needed one more arm, they felt, to completely put the final bow on the bullpen that had to be completely retooled. The catcher is just a little extra added bonus. And I don't think you're going to miss, just like Abraham Toro, I don't think you're going to miss Miles Straw. And depending on what happens for next year with finances, with getting Verlander's money off and Greinke's money's off and whatever you choose to do, there'll be center fielders that you can go get if you need one.
If we're going to be objective and fair about this deal, that's a great freaking deal for the Astros. They gave up an outfielder that's not in their long-term plans, that's not wasn't a big prospect. They got a strikeout machine out of the bullpen, and they got a prospect for a guy who next year was probably going to be a fourth or fifth outfielder. That's a great freaking deal by James Glick.
I agree. And what I keep saying is the fact that we entered this trade deadline period and wondered if they had enough prospects to even make one, let alone two deals. And if they did actually go for it with a big deal, that what they would have had to give up with three fairly high prospects and a Brian Abreu or another young arm, as the price continued to fluctuate from the Cubs, that maybe that would even further deplete their farm system. The fact that they didn't hardly give up anything and got all that they got in return, and that Straw is the one guy that you might have the most concern with giving up, and he really means nothing, I'm fine with it too. I think he did fun. I think James Click in his first true trade deadline was absolutely top-notch phenomenal.
James Click got basically 5 Chick-fil-A combos for the spare change he found under his seat.
Yeah.
And they gave
as a
up
bonus,
nothing.
They used him in the commercial for Chick-fil-A because it was so good. So I agree with you.
They gave up nothing.
No.
And they stayed under the tax. And if, like I said, if you weren't going to get Scherzer, we're going to get Kimbrel. They probably looked, their analytics team probably decided nobody else other than those two guys is worth going over the tax for. We're not going to get enough of a bump. So if we can't get them, scratch it, stay under the tax. They did. They made very sharp moves. They stayed under the tax. This bullpen went from awful as all get out to maybe a top three bullpen in the American League.
I'll say this too. For as many concerns as all of Houston had about their sports team's general managers when some of their good ones got away, Luno, Daryl Morey, and I'm not saying this is going to be long-term in the case of both guys. And even with Nick Caserio so far, with the really, really bad hand he's been dealt in a lot of ways, I'm pretty happy with the way the management has handled the three sports teams in Houston recently with their transactions and the ability to make things happen for their squad. Caserio still obviously a lot to still be determined. Rafael Stone, still a lot to be determined. But last night goes a long way towards giving him a longer leash than he had before the draft.
Trade deadline was good for Stone, too. Made some nice deals.
Found a guy like Jayshon Tate when no one else saw him. Made a flyer trade for Kevin Porter Jr., and it worked out. So I'm willing to give credit where credit is due there. But what James Click has done, too, in my book, was a guy that I said, I got to hear from you. We're still waiting on that signature move. We're still waiting to see you put your stamp on this organization, except for being the guy that let Springer walk, that wasn't able to get a deal done in Korea. So far, so good across the board, but I really, really like what James Click has been able to do.
And let's be fair about it. We don't know to what extent James Click's hands have been tied behind his back. I think it's fair to say he was never going to have the money to bring that. That's a decision made by the owner.
Right.
When you got to make a deal that big, the owner is signing off on it.
Unless you're the Texans.
Yeah, apparently that owner doesn't sign off on anything.
Right.
Or he just nods his head. But you had to get Jim Crane to sign off on the Springer deal, especially going to 6 years for that kind of money. And it was clear he wasn't going to do it. So we don't know if Jim Crane told him, if you can't get Scherzer, you better not pay tax. I could absolutely see that being the scenario. And if that's the scenario, he took the $5 that he had and he made it $50. So very sharp, edging the pencil, very tight marketing there from James Click, who turned the biggest weakness on the team into a solid strength.
Yeah, it might not be the biggest strength, but it's definitely something that you can look at and go, you know what, I like where they're at. I know that they're going to get the job. Because, again, paired with the offense that they have, that's all you needed to do. And he actually went a little bit further in terms of strengthening the bullpen, but getting everything that he got done, and you could have been done maybe with the first move, but definitely done after the second move. But the fact that these three moves have completely resurrected your bullpen with a team that has the offense that they have, starting pitching that's been good enough, and their number one closer like Presley, I love where the Astros are at.
And it changes the mindset of how Dusty gets to manage now, because if your starter can only give you five, you now have the arms to get you through four innings, which they did not have.
Can we say goodbye to Rayleigh, please?
I'm fine with that. I mean, realistically, the three guys you just got.
Who's your lefty? Is it Taylor or is it Rayleigh? He loves Rayleigh. It's a security blanket.
You know what? We've seen in the past they haven't had a lefty because you've had guys who can get lefties and righties out equally well.
Right.
If your choices are is Belak the lefty?
God, no. Please, no.
I mean, honestly, the lefties
they
have.
I'll take Taylor over the other two.
I'm fine with, we don't need a lefty. Just give me guys who get out.
Tina Turner, we don't need another hero, because if those guys are the ones I'm choosing from, I'll take a righty.
But Graveman, Garcia, Maton, Javier, Stanek, Presley, you are six deep in the bullpen. That the only time I should see Brooks Raley pitching is up 8 or down 8.
Well, I thought you were going to say on the Sugarland Skeeters. If that was an option, I'd love to have that too. All right, we got one segment to go in the program. Then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz, and they're going to do what everybody wants them to do, and that's finish strong in their final episode of the Blitz. They're already both drinking. Tyler is here to supervise. Aaron's going to be back at the station. I hope Aaron gets here after the show is over so he can take part in the festivities. Oh, good. Aaron will be here. That's good at some point. So everybody's lining up to say goodbye to AJ. Second floor, Carbach Brewing, 29610 region around the city. So come on by and see them. You can see us until 4, and there's going to be one more segment to go. So hang right where you are. It is the Press Box at ESPN.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Carbach Brewery. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Great to see all the loyal ESPNers and blitzers and boxers and everybody paying their fond farewells to A.J. Hoffman. We appreciate him as he is getting ready to do his final show. Chewy is here. Chewy passing on his best wishes to A.J. Hoffman. Dr. Will, who does not match, but he does not care. Dr. Will is here, fresh with the minty green hat. Everybody to see A.J. Hoffman. I don't know. Anyway, so
seats are full, brother. That's pretty cool. Seats are full.
It's a full house for A.J. It's so we were talking too, but we can get to it, Pat, but I'm sure they will too. We were talking about what the Astros still have some moves to make roster-wise, but look.
Blah, 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 Astros.
Oh,
blah,
you must have
blah,
been drinking
blah.
Already. Or you just don't care, because based blah, on what blah. I heard yesterday.
Joel doesn't like to share his mic time with me. Joel's a mic time miser.
Why,
this is crosstalk.
Why are you not going to just fade gently? With us.
I am.
We're in a totally different place. And then you got to come in guns blazing sitting down.
I mean, I put on my headset and you're like, whoa, the Astros got a crappy relief pitcher.
We were going to go do that, but now you're here. So I said, you know, I'm sure you guys will get to that. I obviously realized that you had a whole lot of I don't care anymore.
There's some.
I heard a P word yesterday. I heard you unloading on some listeners.
I mean, you can say that.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I usually don't say it, but you can.
I love that. I love the fact that you're still being you. But this is a hell of a showing. I mean, you and I have come a long way in my short time here, shorter than you guys, obviously. And this show, I mean, the fact that I think that the one thing you and I have even talked about is the fact that you guys had one hell of a run. I mean, that run of month after month, number one, is something that no one should forget. And it really did a lot for Gal Media. And so the fact that, you know, you and I went from a place where everybody still thinks we hate each other.
Yeah.
But to a complete opposite of where it started from.
Yeah, we didn't start great. We didn't have a great start.
And that was your fault. But, I mean, I completely it kind of was, yeah.
Are you sure you didn't have, like, super thin skin back then?
It's part of it.
Okay. I'll take some blame.
I can admit that.
I'll admit I'm kind of an a-hole.
Kind of.
Okay, and if you're a person who isn't thick-skinned, I'm a lot of an a-hole.
It's why we get along, because a-holes stick together.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever compare you two. So.
We're different kind of a-holes, I think.
We are. But
you're a New York a-hole.
But I appreciate your level of a-hole. And there was a card that got circulated around the office yesterday, but I wasn't in the office yesterday, so I didn't sign
Me
the
either.
Card. And to be fair, as guys, we know what cards are. Cards are things that hold money for kids, and for guys are basically just a colossal waste of time.
Yes.
Sit there picking through stuff.
That's right. But people feel like they have to do it.
So I didn't get you a card.
That's okay.
But I did get you something, and I wanted to get you something that you would like and you would appreciate and would be useful to you.
I hope it's not more of that that death metal beer that you got me, the Iron Maiden beer.
Oh, I love that stuff.
That's a horrible beer.
Anyhow, but no, it's actually a good beer, but you just don't like it. But anyway, I wanted to get you something that I thought that you would like. It's in my car. I'm going to go get it in between
okay.
the shows.
What's her name?
Stephanie.
Fred. Fred. Oh. I'm out on that. I've had my fill.
Anyhow, it's because of the fact that you guys have done Happy Hour now for 2 years and drank some of the most god-awful things that humans have ever made
yes.
to drink. I wanted to get you something that I thought you would enjoy
okay.
drinking
well,
and
I thank
appreciate
you,
drinking.
I thank you, sir.
So as we switch here and you and Fred take over and Joel and I go quietly into the night.
Joel's going to he's gonna drink a beer with me.
I'm going to go down. I'm going to go bring up something that I think you will appreciate.
Okay.
And then I'll crack a beer with you.
All right. Sounds
there
good.
There you go.
Well, listen, boys. I've enjoyed working with both of you. You know, at times more than others.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to see where you guys are now. And listen, I think that One of the great things, Joel, I know, like, we did have some bumps early.
Yep.
I think one of the great things about you is you are very, you've been very open to coaching. And it didn't seem like you were going to be at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen you grow as a host, and I think you've become one of the better hosts at this station. So I'm glad to see you putting in the work and you know, kind of getting past whatever start we had to at least pretend to hear what
I'm
saying.
No, and it's been fun. It's been fun. I mean, I think at the end of the day, obviously not every work situation, you enjoy going to work every day. But the fact that we've made it fun and the fact that everybody, you know, we all had to find kind of our niche within the group. But you know what? Everybody, you know, we care about each other. And that's why, look, we can never fault you for going on to bigger and better things. But you can't, in the process of reminiscing, you can be thankful for the fact that, look, our paths crossed. No matter how it started, the fact that now going forward, I'm not going to ever hesitate to reach out and text you or say, what's up with this? You can do the same. And I think that's the beauty of it. So,
like via text, not Twitter DM.
Yeah, no Twitter DMs. When it gets too messy on regular Twitter and we got to DM it for paragraphs? Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Well, it's a great show.
Out and start sliding.
Well, boys, best of luck to you guys going forward. And
we'll be listening.
As you know, I'm cheering for this station. Even though I won't be here, I'm cheering for you guys. So
well, we appreciate you, man.
All right, man.
Good luck in Vegas. And again, of course, that's not the end of AJ, as he's going to be here for the final Blitz with Fred and Aaron and Tyler. That's coming up next. You guys don't miss that. Patrick, I can't thank you enough. Short notice. Got you in here today. Had a great time, as always, because the friendship is one thing. The knowledge is on another level, so I always appreciate working with you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for thinking of me and getting me out of doing the night shift.
There you go. And that's the other thing. Make sure people know that, so that there is no evening show tonight.
There's no late hits today. Late hits was kind of merged into the press box today.
Right.
So I get to have the night off on Friday, baby!
So enjoy yourself, Patrick. Enjoy the rest of the Blitz. The final one coming up, a full house standing by here at Carbach, and everybody else basically sitting on the edge of their seats to listen to the final 3 hours. Y'all enjoy that. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday on the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.